Do you want to do a sessionable soundbite for the intro?
I can't believe you didn't ask earlier.
Okay, we'll cue you in. I'll be the ukulele. Dun da dun da da 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 da. Sessionable.
Nice.
All right. Cool. All right. Welcome to Sessionable. We are here with two pretty special guests. You might have, if you've heard the podcast before, you might have heard us mention a little bar called Bit of Few. So that's currently where we're recording. And we're sitting with two guys from Bit of Few. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves? We got Jay.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
And we got Aaron.
Hey, how you going, guys?
So we might start by having you guys, yeah, kind of tell us a bit about yourselves and how this place came to be, and I mean, you've got another bar, so that might be...
Yeah, so basically, about 10 years ago, I moved to Copenhagen, worked as a pretty crappy bartender in some bad places, and got a bit sick of it. Thought I was homebrewing as well at the time, and thought, well, with my partner over there, Tone, business partner, that would try and open a bar, which we did 3 years ago, and... Coming over to Sydney, I saw kind of that there was a really great craft beer scene starting to happen, going to places like Local Tap House and stuff, and just thought, well, hey, Sydney's really on the cusp of something. Let's get something going. Aaron, who is my friend from primary school, my friend. How old were we when we met? About... seven or something like that. Kind of kept in touch all the way through, and there was just, he was managing a bar at the time, and it was like, hey, we really need to get something up and going. And with another mate, Mick Whitley, who I went to university with, and Simon, who's Aaron's friend, we opened up a Bit of Few. Most of the credit must go to Aaron, to be honest. He's done a hell of a job, and I did a bit of grunt work when it was first there, but didn't get to really see the pretty picture until just recently come back down to Sydney.
Nice, yeah.
I'd say, like, the underlying fact was that we always wanted to drink better beer. And it was just like you say, 10 years, it was almost like, I still remember when we both first moved to Sydney, even though, like, there wasn't much available, we still constantly looked for something better.
Yeah, I suppose we went to James Squires down on the water.
Still remember conversations down there going, we can do this, but...
Yeah. But, the place in Copenhagen as well, it's called Fermentoren, which means the fermenter.
Could be taken two ways.
Just a nice little grungy pub with, some nice craft beer on tap as well.
Cool.
It's been going well.
So, like, similar concept to here?
Yeah, a little bit smaller, I suppose, inside.
Okay.
We got a few more taps. We got 20 taps over there, and we're just starting to brew ourselves as well.
Oh, cool.
Under dry and bitter. We just started brewing our first beers last week.
Awesome.
Thanks. And but a little bit bigger outside. We got a courtyard and stuff like that.
Any of those beers going to somehow make their way down here, do you think? Cause I mean, it's a big ask.
But. Yeah. Jay and I like to talk.
Yeah.
So what happens after that is always up for debate.
We'll see. We've contacted a few guys from North Down and experience it. And we'll see what happens. But it's important that we just get clean beer coming out first.
Of course. Yeah,
before we move on, let's just talk about this beer that we're drinking, which you brought, Tom.
I brought along. You might notice that Liam isn't here today.
And neither is Brad.
No. So I think they're both, they've got day jobs. So
suckers.
Yeah, right. So they can't be at the pub on early Monday afternoon. Like we can. But I did go past Liam's shop before coming in and picked up this bottle. It's the Batch Chapeau. So it is their anniversary ale for their first birthday.
Oh, cool.
Which is like, congrats to them because they've been putting out some amazing stuff.
Yeah. When was their birthday?
I think it was a month or two ago.
Okay.
It was recently.
I completely missed that.
Or maybe it was actually, it might have been
towards the end of last year.
Yeah, end of last year.
So it was like November.
Okay.
November, December. Cool. So they did this is a kettle soured, farmhouse ale blended with raspberries. So it's bright pink, like pinky red. So, and it is quite sweet from the raspberries with that nice kind of tart.
But it's crisp. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's not a super sharp tartness, but it's there. It's definitely
it's not,
there.
It's not like sour. It's just
Berliner Weiss sour.
That kind of level. There is also a barrel aged version, but that
didn't
make
it out.
That was a lot harder. Liam was like, "I've got some bottles of that, but you can't have any." I was like, "Oh, fuck you, Liam." maybe he'll say that for an episode that he's on. I thought I'd bring this along because I think this batch is a good, I think it's a good representation of where we are and where we're going in Sydney as a, you know, which is something I think I want to talk about today, especially in relationship to...
Definitely. It's been amazing. Yeah. Even this last year, since coming back, there's, been 3-4 breweries open up at least, Modius, Nomads, Batch. It's been fantastic.
Yeah. I just know, there's more. The next year is going to be insane for growth, I think.
Yeah, I think the biggest move is going to be quality, I think, is probably the fear of too much, too soon.
Mm. But I think, quality is definitely the next big important thing. I think you've already seen breweries who maybe weren't necessarily known for their consistency and quality in terms of not how good the beer was, but how consistent it was.
So regarding infections or?
Yeah, infections and levels of carbonation. Yep. I'm not going to name names, but a few of those.
Yeah, I was going to say, you made the point before, don't get it out until you know it's good to go. Exactly. There's no point. I mean, everyone that's a good home brewer is going to be able to brew a good beer. But as soon as you get to that commercial capacity where you do
when you're at that scale, so much more can go wrong.
You've got distribution problems, you've got anything that can stop or infect said beer, and all of a sudden it's out of your hands.
And once you get a bad reputation for producing infected beer, people won't touch it.
It's really hard to regain that respect that you've lost. But I was going to say, I think a few of the breweries who maybe had that reputation have been working really hard over the last maybe 6 months to 12 months to put out higher quality and consistency product, and that's important. I think that's something that everyone's going to have to really look at. And
I suppose the other thing to look at as well, in defense of some of these guys, that they are putting out more experimental beers as well. Mm. So therefore, consistency
takes a hit.
Yeah. But these guys are pushing boundaries, which also makes us kind of raise our eyebrows a bit and go, well, absolutely, we don't have to all drink pale ales in every pub. We can kind of see something a bit different. Yeah. We're drinking one right now.
Well, exactly.
So.
Yeah. Not that I think I haven't heard any problems that Batch have had. They've been great, consistent.
No,
I'm just so this is really tasty. It's nice. It's not too big and bombastic, but it is. It's got a lot of cool flavors in there.
Yeah, it's almost a little yogurty or like that.
Yeah. It's not too sweet and it's not too sour, so it's just a really nice, refreshing drop. I kind of wish, I don't like the heat, but I kind of wish it was hot today.
Yeah. I mean, it is a warm day.
We can turn the aircon off. Yeah. We can make it hot.
Are they doing any of this on keg, or is it strictly bottle?
I think this was a very limited release. They probably had some kegs, maybe for themselves and at their bar. Mm. But as far as I know, it was a few months ago, so it's if it was kegged, it's probably all gone. And it would, I think it would have been only at their venue. But bottle-wise, so I found this at Camperdown Cellars. I haven't seen it anywhere else, but that's kind of where I do a lot of my shopping now. So.
Yeah. Not at Coles or Woolworths?
No. Yeah. No, food, I don't need that. Yeah. That's what Mr. Crackles is for. Yeah.
That takes up room in your fridge.
Yeah. For beer. The fridge is for beer. Everyone
my
knows
other
that.
Fridge.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the Sydney beer scene, but could you, Jay, talk about how it's going over in Copenhagen?
Yeah, definitely. I think probably over the last, it's kind of gone in waves, last probably, 15 years.
Yep.
10 years ago, there was a massive amount of microbreweries, but to be honest, they probably got caught short on their quality as well. Mm. I suppose you might regard them as more regional breweries where they're just trying to produce a Pilsner, a pale ale, maybe a darker beer. And I think the Australian craft beer scene's kind of gone through that phase as well.
Yeah.
With the financial crisis, a lot of those guys got wiped out. But it's definitely coming back again. The best ones continued on. obviously Mikkola, Evil Twins popped up. Armour, if you check out them, they're probably, for me, doing the best stuff in Denmark. Super hoppy, great fresh stuff.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, but since then, I suppose the bars in Denmark, there's not a lot of, it's hard to get your beers on in normal bars. Where I suppose Sydney, you can get a good pale ale in a lot of bars around. Mm. It doesn't have to be a craft beer bar per se.
Yeah.
So that's kind of caused, I suppose, a lot of fiercely independent bars to open up and go a little bit more extreme with their beers. And, you know, we've just had in the last year probably 4 or 5 beer bars open up. Tap House in Copenhagen's got a 60 tap place. You know, Mikkola's opened up another bar and opening up another bar again with 3 Floyds coming up called Wall Pigs. You know, it's fiercely competitive in the microbrewing scene, but regarding normal access to, you know, general cafes and stuff, it's actually pretty hard to get in. So,
is it all like contracted? Or
there's
it
a large amount. You know, the probably the 3 or 4 big names in Denmark, Beer Here, Evil Twin, Tour, Mikkola, they're all contract brewing out at the Poof in Belgium. But yeah, some of them are starting to contract again.
Yeah.
And cool. Beer Here's actually looking with his missus, I guess, who used to work with us, open up a sour beer place as well. They're starting to do some farmhouse stuff.
Because he does a lot of stuff down here as well, I think.
Yeah, with Edge.
With Edge, bro, yeah.
Yeah. So, and also did some stuff for a little bit over in South Africa as well with called Beerwerk. We got them on bottle here as well. So that was,
Oh, okay. So that's, gotcha. That's what that is.
Yeah.
I think Tom touched on it a second ago that, in Australia anyway, we've got a heavily contracted system with breweries. Is it similar over there with,
so the taps are owned by
in that way, not contract brewing,
yeah. brewing. I mean, that was a good subject as well.
Yeah. Carlsberg own a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They own, I'd say, 99% of the taps in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
It's hard when you're a cafe opening, any place opening, and putting up your own money. If they can give you a rebate, stuff like that, it's really attractive when you're starting from scratch. It's expensive to buy cool rooms, taps. You know, you're looking $50,000-$60,000 type thing, which a lot of people just don't have. So, yeah, that's basically it. And a lot of the... It's starting to get better, but a lot of the installers are also tied in with Carlsberg and stuff, and that definitely bumps up all the prices.
Makes it tough, yeah.
Yeah, so, I suppose over here, I know Aaron probably knows a bit better what's going on.
Well, it's divided, obviously, so, I mean, and it's a bit stranger over here because their little sort of microbrewery branches, like Matilda Bay and Little Creatures, it's the facade is still, it appears as if it was no different as it was before, but... Behind the scenes, it's the same billing, same billing agent, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
So you look at a 20 tap bar, and they might have one guest tap, but technically it's 60% contracted to one brewery, but you can mix it up, and that's the difference, I suppose.
Distributor.
I think most pubs they might have one guest tap, and that'll probably be Cooper's.
Yeah, you know, usually is. Yeah, you're right.
Because that's that's not the big boys, but it's still. They can get it to them at a cheaper price than a craft brewery can, and
it sells.
And exactly. And people know it. It's a known brand, and in those bigger pubs, I guess that's what they think is going to work best.
Yeah. Do you find that it waters down the branding of craft beer in Australia at all, or do you think it's
the macro owned craft?
I don't think it does.
It's hard. I think it does it a little bit, but I think not nearly as much as it actually helps.
I think it helps a lot more than
it does. Because I think as soon as someone's drinking
James Squire, they're already looking for something else.
Exactly. That means that they've already moved on from Australian pale lager, and they're maybe looking at a pale ale that has some hop presence. We probably won't drink James Squires because we're used to pale ales with more hops. But it's when you compare 150 Lashes to his new, Like, yeah, you know, definitely. it is completely different flavor, beer. And it is a good stepping stone.
Definitely.
And I know
definitely.
I started on, you know, Little Creatures and James Squires.
I started on
we all did.
Ale,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Or 2 years old, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's 50-50 at the worst, yeah.
Because I think the biggest challenge for us is convincing people that beer isn't just...
Well, that's what I was just about to say, yeah. Like, I think the biggest problem with, like, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I think the biggest step is once people truly understand what James Squire is or what these other macro owned breweries are, they almost feel cheated and they almost instantly start searching out for an independently owned.
And so it actually triggers Stone and Wood or something. Exactly, and that's a great step. Or like a Mountain Goat.
Four Pines.
Yeah. And which is fantastic. Like you... Or even like Feral Hop Hog or something.
Yeah. Those which is truly represented in the recent...
Exactly, that's it.
The Hottest 100, there you go.
but because those are... They're the, like, the stepping stone seems to be you go from pale lager to...
Coopers or something, or James Coopers Squire.
Or James Squire or Little Creatures or Matilda Bay. And then you go from there to Hop Hog, Stone and Wood, you know, Four Pines, that kind of...
Yeah, and saying that, Alpha King and stuff was fantastic for a massively produced IPA.
I mean, look, it still is. Alpha is still a tasty beer, and so is I think I'll always have a soft spot for the Matilda Bay Dog Bolter.
Yeah,
you know,
oddly enough, those two beers they don't produce them as often.
No, they don't do them as much. You have to seek that, like really look for them. You can't,
which is a shame because like they were
their
tasty beers. Yeah, yeah.
So anyone from CUB listening to this,
I know you base most of your decisions on what you do on what we say on this podcast.
That's right.
I did have it just on tap, or not the Alpha King, but the Dog Boulder at the Australian over the weekend. Yeah. That was
it's a tasty beer. It was a beer that I was like, I thought I didn't like dark beer because I didn't really like the taste of Guinness, and had that and I was like, oh, I don't mind this.
Yep,
you know. That's another challenge, is trying to convince people that not all dark beer is Guinness.
It's a hard challenge.
Yeah.
But in saying that, once you've drunk good dark beer, you actually find how watery Guinness is.
It is amazing how people are like, oh, I don't like Guinness, it's too rich and thick for me. I'm kind of like, well...
Try this chocolate milkshake with alcohol.
And they'll love it. That's the thing. Like, I think we discussed it on the last episode, but Holgate Temptress, for example, like that's a great gateway dark beer.
All right, let's take a quick break, finish these beers, and
then we'll come back,
move on with another beer and more discussion.
Lovely. Sessionable. All right, so we're back. We had a good chat over the break, kind of about the use of social media and how that affects the bars. That's what we talked about, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what we talked about.
So I thought maybe
nothing else.
That's probably something we could talk about, because social media and the websites that are out there, like the Crafty Pint and Brews News, Time Out and The Shout and stuff as well, they have a huge impact on the bars in Sydney. And I know, Aaron, you use Facebook and Twitter a lot for Bitter Few. Is it similar over with them?
A little bit. We don't... There's a website called Beer Ticker, does a lot of events. Rate Beer is actually probably one of the bigger websites. That's kind of one thing I've found over here, that Rate Beer is not used as much.
and Beer Advocate as well, like overseas, seems to be used quite a lot.
Yeah, in the US, Beer Advocate's I think the big one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think, that's kind of one thing, having... Like, maybe not so much events. Events is definitely through Facebook.
Yeah.
Websites, we don't have a website. It's been one of those running things we should have had, but don't. Rate Beers, we get a lot. Other stuff, like Yelp is a pretty big thing.
I find Yelp's not that big in Sydney either.
It's not TripAdvisor, probably. Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because like when we first opened, the different versions of social media of... coming through the door, because obviously everyone uses a different platform and everyone's version of what we should be using, and like Yelp is actually a good example. Haven't had a single person since the first 2 weeks anyone ever bring it up ever again. We had like four people walk in with a Yelp thing.
So it's like Google, I see like Google reviews, and then on Facebook there's like Facebook reviews of, you know, and it's they're all, and then you'd have Yelp and TripAdvisor review. It's all, I don't know, that's a bit of a shit fight.
Yeah, I think the
amount of different places where you can
I think you could probably argue the benefits of every social media platform until the
the end of time. And one of the biggest things I think we've found by playing around with a lot of that, I know obviously Yelp, just to bring that up again, like I think we're on that and a few other things. And as soon as you do anything like change your opening times or change any form of information, it is an absolute nightmare.
And so, you got to change it everywhere as well.
And you got to change it everywhere. And believe it or not, the one day you change it, someone will come in the next day that has never used that social media platform ever.
Yeah.
And they will reference that. And you're just like, it's just like that one. It's like we were listed on that like a year and a half ago. Yeah. But anyway.
Damn it, I forgot to change Elo.
Yeah.
Cool. I think another thing we wanted to talk about is obviously you had quite a big week here last year for Sydney Craft Beer Week. And I know, I think you were mentioning, Jay, that the Copenhagen Beer Festival, is that the one that's coming up?
Yeah, the Copenhagen Beer Celebration.
Beer Celebration.
That's a pretty big one. And there's also the traditional festival, Rintergesta Festival, which means beer festival, which is about 2 weeks after, usually.
Okay.
That's more locally based. Yep. You get a few guys from Sweden, maybe Brewdog, Noinu, come down. But the CBC, that's more of it's an invite event.
Yeah.
A lot more international. Three Floyds. Crooked Stave. Ton of people.
You were listing off the people who've been there and trying to convince me to, on my first week in Germany, because it's the first week that I'm in Germany.
Just leave Germany
and go to Copenhagen for a weekend. And I still haven't decided no. So
it's a one-hour flight, man.
Exactly.
It sounds like a dangerous month. Like two beer festivals within 2 weeks of each other.
Tom leaves and just comes back wearing the same clothes. Like, Tom, how was it? It's like, I didn't leave.
Yeah. But that's a huge one. And it's great because there's a lot of spillover. Obviously, the big bars get a lot of stuff. But it's a lot of barrel-aged stuff gets suddenly put out to all the other bars. You get some really great big guns on tap, and if you're into beer tigging and rating or just trying to taste huge world-class beer, that's probably the week to go in Copenhagen, definitely.
I'm seriously considering it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get Panapod on tap, you get a couple of barrels of Cantillon, it's a pretty beer wanky week, but it's hard.
Well, we're sitting here talking about it on a beer podcast, so I don't think beer wanky is something we need to worry about.
But I mean, last year it was great. We have, let's say during that week, a flexible opening time or closing time.
Whatever time you wake up,
To whatever time you go to sleep, right?
Yeah. It just gets pretty debaucherous. I think there was like 5 or 6 people just buying large bottles of Three Fontaine and drinking them straight from the bottle, and Fofoon, Cantillon and stuff. Just like, it was, at one point it's just becomes, a bit of a beer orgy, I suppose.
All right, well, we should also, before we forget, mention what we're drinking. So it's another New South Wales brewery. We've had a few of their beers on the podcast before, and this is the Murray's Fred IPA. Which I was actually talking to Jay the other day because he was looking for good IPAs from the New South, from like local IPAs that were more in the kind of the West Coast tradition of being like nice dry finish instead of too sweet and chewy, which you find a lot of Australian IPAs tend towards. This is the one I recommended. Had it a few times. Yeah, it's a really, really tasty beer.
Awesome. I mean, for 5.6 ABV, it's fantastic.
You wouldn't guess that. Really, you'd guess that, you know, that was... Because it's got the body of an IPA that is, you know, 7 to an or up.
Definitely.
But it's 5.6, and it's just super tasty. I know Brad, so one of the other hosts on the show, this is one of his all-time favourite beers.
Yeah. It's really, really good. Yeah. I think it's a great trend in beer to get lower ABV beers with... Full flavour.
Yeah, would you mean like kind of sessionable beers? Is that the...
Yes, that would be... it's fantastic. It's dry, it's hoppy, great nose. Love it.
Now, I think we'd like to have a chat about how Bitterfew's been going. It's been just over a year since opening and...
I think over the year it's probably done that absolute token traditional small business model where it's slow at the start and then... Every step up is another step up, and we seem to hold it, which is really good. It's definitely not going backwards, which is a great sign. But I think probably the biggest thing, I find is probably the biggest compliment is just the fact that, and you ready for it, guys? is that the guys that do keep coming back, it's like, it is a compliment to see that. It means we're doing the right thing.
You're absolutely doing the right thing, yeah.
And we'd like to keep doing it, because the biggest thing, and I throw out my faux threats every now and then, it's like, if you don't drink it, I'll put something else on. But
I've never heard that. Yeah.
It's because you're always drinking it.
Well, true.
But no, it's good to, because I, at the end of the day, I like putting on beers that I want to drink, and obviously that's not for everyone, but it is good to see that people are drinking the beers, and people are progressing up to some of the level of the beers that we are putting on, and actually appreciating them and not just drinking them and not understanding them, which is a big sign as well. I've seen the Sydney scene change a lot just even the last 12 months in respect to that.
The last 12 months have been huge. So, I mean, I'm looking at the tap list now, and that's a fantastic list. Look at that. You got Bridge Road, Beechworth Pale, the Red Hill Christmas from 2013.
Yep, so that was from our first ever delivery. Well, so
that's pretty cool.
When we opened, or before we actually opened, but looking at a place, we're trying to get a place where you could get world-class beer. I mean, it's great having the best Australian stuff as well, but...
Well, there's no parameters at the end of the day, I think. Yeah. I don't want to ever be... Well, we should never be known for only doing international or anything like that. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not going to head down that path. We will always attempt to put on the best available beer.
And I mean, you've got, La Saran at the moment on tap, and I would say they're one of Brewcold as well. You know, I think they're some of the best Australian breweries, and I think some of their beers that they do are world class.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, we're already seeing Doctor's Orders is going overseas now, and a few of the other. I think I've only seen Doctor's Orders overseas. I'm not sure if there's any others.
You get like some of them will do stuff overseas. I mean, a lot of the, like, the collaborations, so Bridge Road, which you've got on tap as well, they do a bunch of collabs with Nurgle from... Yep. So you'd probably see more of them than we would, maybe.
I mean, the ones where they generally do a reproduce over in Noinu as well, or Nugna, depending if you're Norwegian, Danish,
How is it?
Let's have a conversation about how to pronounce it.
Well, we've had this conversation on the podcast before.
If in Danish, they generally don't pronounce their words as much, so it's Noinu, which means naked island, by the way.
Yeah.
And then, you've got Nugna, which would be the Norwegian way of saying it.
That's because I was very proud. I had Kjetil, the head brewer, was down here. He complimented me on my pronunciation.
Well done.
I heard on the podcast a couple of weeks, it was a fair while back, some of the pronunciations of the Jula IPA. kind of laughed a little bit.
Jula.
Where do you see the bar going in the future? Like, you obviously, I think we should also mention, I think we might have talked about it before, but you've got a second bar in Sydney now as well, which is not a beer bar.
Not as such.
I mean, it still has excellent beer, so that's... Doris and Beryl's Bridge Club and Tea House. Is that the right order?
That's everything. I can congratulate you on that as well.
Cool,
thanks. I suppose it's two different questions, isn't it? I think the other bar essentially was, well, there's a few reasons why we did it, but one of the reasons was essentially to help each bar out. So Doris and Beryl's is more cocktail focused, with a back bar of beer, which should rival any other bar. But by doing that, it allows Bitter Fuge to then buy more beer at a better price, which helps us in other ways as well. So not just beer, I shouldn't just say it. It's the full spectrum.
All your products.
Exactly, yeah. And it allows us to now then do more things wholesale, which helps us, which then flows on to the customers as well. So that's, I suppose, that's the first question. Bitter Fuge, I can definitely see us getting deeper and deeper with collaborations with breweries specifically. Once international breweries or even local breweries know what we're doing, hopefully we get to that point where we are their first phone call, as opposed to us having to chase up the beer.
It was fantastic, actually. Wayne from, what was it,
Cigar City?
He was at the bar over at Copenhagen, and he was like talking about this place and didn't know like I was involved. And I was like, oh yeah, we had this collaboration down there. And I was like, oh, which one was that? And I was like, Bitterfuge. And I was like, oh, you're involved. And it was like, it was really great to hear him kind of talk about it.
Well, coming back to what I was saying before, I think it's like, it is the greatest compliment to, because you don't know what people think of you until they don't know you own a portion of it and you're in Denmark.
Yeah. that's what I would say. Yeah.
I mean, he spent a few days here, or nights, I should say, and obviously got a few of the guys rustling up to him, and he was happy to answer all the homebrew questions that they had. And I was waiting for him to walk away, but he didn't. He just kept on going, which is awesome to see. So he's always got time for everyone. So
hopefully you can see more Cigar City stuff down here and maybe see him back. That'd be cool.
Yeah, well, stuff like that. Yeah. You know, hopefully that's what we can kind of get ingrained that, you know, we can get that stuff on tap more regularly.
The fact that he remembered that and then was talking about it at a bar in Denmark, I think that, that shows the, you know, I think the quality of what you're doing. It's that's huge. Yeah. That's really cool.
Lovely. Sessionable.
And we're back and we're drinking Billy B's because that's what we do on Sessionable when we're at Bitterfew.
I've never had this beer before.
Ever? You sure?
Ever.
Well, let me explain it to you.
No, wait, I haven't had it for the 25th time or whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah. I've never had it today, is what you mean.
That's right.
We've talked about it on the podcast before. I don't think we've even talked about how much of it we drink here. But the fact that this place has been one of the only places you can get Thoroughgoods for the last year, I think that might have had something to do with that.
It's a limited resource as well.
Mm. Well, it's finite now. They're not making any more.
Slowly running out.
Yeah. World class beer, though.
Oh, it's definitely.
One of the best sours, just period.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's going is a tragedy.
The fact that it's Australian and that we can get it here, it's like we're so lucky to be able to do that.
So lucky. Yeah.
And the fact that they're no longer.
Have you noticed the talking's dropped off now? We're all we're all drinking.
I'll keep talking. But yeah, just so sad they're closing.
Yeah.
If anything, it's probably a decade before his time almost.
I think it'll be years until we see anything this quality come up again.
If only he was 30 years younger.
So, Jay, you did you say you just shipped over some Billy B's over to Denmark?
Can we talk about that? Is that allowed?
We've got a red phone in the bar, and Jay called the red phone, and he's like, "I want some of this Billy B's."
Well, I saw somewhere that he was closing, and I've been waiting to get this forever, and so I thought, I better get two cases, one of the stout and one of the normal apple ale, Yeah, so shipping it back with my missus, Lena, hi. She's my beer mule at the moment, who's shipped back the first case.
Hopefully she's carrying it all. Not.
Yes. Okay. And, I'll be bringing back the next one. So.
You just got in. Adrian was, getting very close to drinking your cases, I think.
we drink a lot of this beer here.
And it's not just us, though. I see... You know, people I've never met.
Yeah, you need to get his bartenders to stop recommending it.
I think that small blunder of Ben putting it on Facebook ruined the dream.
Yeah.
we had enough stock to probably get us through to maybe May, and it's nearly all gone. So, and it's only February.
As long as it can last February, then I'm
I'd
happy.
Say we'll get to the end of February.
Okay, cool. Then I'm happy.
Save one for Tom's going away.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, cool. but this is just... we're drinking the stout... and I think people ask me which one I prefer, and I can't answer. They're both just so good in their own ways.
Look, I think the stout's better, but they're both great.
I love both of them. Yeah. All right, we might move on to our recommendations now.
Definitely not going to recommend this beer, though.
No, I don't think anyone who's listening to this should even bother looking for it or trying because it's out. It's finished.
It's gone.
Just assume it's gone. So, who do you want to go first? Or do you? Or should
I go? I'll go first.
Non-beer recommendations.
Yeah, we'll start with a round of non-beer. So. I'm just going to stick with things that I've been doing today. I started my day with getting a bag of coffee beans from Single Origin over in Surrey Hills. So I recommend, you know, wherever you are, just go to your local micro roaster and get an awesome bag of beans.
And if you don't have any way of having the coffee at home, buying a grinder and an AeroPress is... pretty inexpensive.
So cheap.
And an AeroPress itself is, I think, $50. And
not even.
You'll make that up in how much you use less than a month easily.
And if you don't have a grinder, you can just, you know, ask your friend to
step on
to
it.
Borrow
to swipe
one.
Left or right. Right. Is that...
that was three levels of jokes in one word.
Wow. I applaud that. Yeah, okay. Well done. That was good. I like that.
Yeah, I can definitely double the recommendation for Single Origin. That's because they're right next to the Royal Albert, so that's where I get a lot of my coffee regularly. I love it.
But them, just not them. No, not them specifically. But
go to your local.
Yeah.
there any other roasters you can recommend?
In Sydney, close to Single Origin is Reuben Hills, which is probably my favourite.
Yeah,
Reuben
Hills
is good. Mecca is really good as well. I don't get to Camp Horse very often, but
Little Marionette is banging.
Yeah. Okay. There's a sensory lab in Bondi that's really good.
There's actually quite a bit.
Everyone goes, oh, Melbourne has better coffee. And like, look, I disagree.
Nah, wrong.
Like, if you know where to look, we have just as good coffee. It's
better.
Are we a Sydney,
Gauntlet is down.
Are we a Sydney-based?
We are a Sydney-based one. All right. I'll go next with my non-beer.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm going to recommend, it's a website. It's also, they've got a podcast, they do videos and a blog. And it's all about board gaming. And it's like, I've just been reading a lot and watching a lot of their videos and listening to their podcasts a lot. It's called Shut Up and Sit Down. They have a really great personality. There's a bunch of different people that contribute to it, and they all have their own voice. And as a site, it's got a lot of personality. And their videos are so well produced and put together, and funny and informative and great reviews. All about board games, but that's I think people know that. So I'd recommend that. That's my non beer. What about you, Aaron? Do you have something non beer to recommend to our listeners?
It's going to be hard. So we're doing non-beer and then we're going back to beer related? Is that?
And then back to beer, yeah.
All right, cool. So I'd have to say thanks to these two guys for taking me to Vic's Quality Meats the other day.
I was thinking of recommending that.
You're following in the proud tradition of Sessionable recommending meat.
I think I'm still tasting it. It's been nearly 2 weeks. I'm still tasting
still
that brisket.
Smell the smoke.
Every time I wake up in the morning, I'm still getting my nostrils are still filled.
Barbecue sauce and brisket.
If my stomach could handle any more on that day, I was trying to get some more in.
Yeah. Are you going as cooked meat recommendation?
One of, yeah. Sorry. I can add another one.
You're allowed to do a different cooked meat.
And yeah. It'll alleviate yours as well.
Okay, cool.
So after my cooked meat one, to make yours sound more
spontaneous.
Definitely the cocktail over at Doris and Beryl's Narcoleptic Nan, chamomile infused tequila.
Wow. I didn't have that one when I was over there.
Yeah, so narcoleptic try and stay awake after the chamomile and its tendrils get into you.
Because you've got a cold drip coffee one as well, isn't it?
I don't even want to say it because it sounds horrible. It's Dribble, something Dribble.
Dementia Drip.
Yeah, no, it was Dribble originally. We changed it to Drip because it was like, nerves.
I was here for that brainstorming session and I may have had something to do with that.
Dementia Drip. But Dribble's still in my head. And I'm like, don't ever bring that up. Dementia Drip. So yeah, we cold drip.
We came up with some worse ones than that as well.
There was definitely a little bit PC with that. Because we do get a couple of grannies in, so... expecting a tea house and leaving with nothing more than their, can I say panties? Is that anyway?
Going back to social media, I do really love the Facebook posts from Doris and Beryl's.
I can happily say that the collaboration with those stories is very happy with that, how that's just come about. It started out as an accident, and then we've just kind of like built on it.
It's one of the best Facebook pages.
Don't come to the bar. Just read the Facebook stories. Yeah. It's much.
Anyway. You should monetize those.
Yeah.
So
we distracted from the meat now.
Everyone's forgot.
If
you haven't heard, I recommend actually Sunday Roast Barbecue. If you haven't done a roast lamb, get some wood, get some coal, and do a roast lamb. Beef, chicken, whatever.
You could throw some birch on that.
But, smoke is the best seasoning in the world.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah. No, definitely. I'm sure I've heard there's some good restaurants in Sydney doing cooking smoke, on smoke.
Meats. Yeah.
I haven't tried them yet.
So as well as Vicks, you've got... the Jazz City Barbecue, which is actually just down the road from here, and LP's Quality Meats as well in Chippendale. I think they're the top ones.
I think LP's Porteño and Vicks are my two favorites. Yeah. Porteño's literally burnt themselves down.
Another story.
they actually have a pop up.
So now everything's place. Smoked, right?
They have a pop up place.
They're still pulling meat out of the fire.
In Rose Bay, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, Porteño, while they rebuild their place.
All right. Well, so we might go around with our beer recommendations. Fuck, I should pick something out, right?
My recommendation.
Oh no, I've got.
Is three words: epic hop zombie.
Oof.
Oh.
Tom?
Oof.
You don't need to say anything more, do you?
No, don't need to say anything.
I'm going to go with one of my... I might have recommended it before, but I don't care. Because I was sitting here the other night, and I was just like having a bit of a session, and then I just felt like something sour, and I think you just run out of whatever sour was on tap, so it was kind of like, oh, what do I go in the bottle? And I was looking at all the... And I just made up my mind. I was like, fuck it. Rodenbach Grand Cru, that's it. Doing it for the kids. Rodenbach Grand Cru. If you haven't had one for a while, have one. If you have had one recently, have another one.
That's kind of my go-to here.
Yeah, same.
Apart from the Billy B's,
yeah.
I know that that's going to run out, so I'm kind of weaning myself off the Billy B's.
onto
Rodenbach Grand Cru.
We live a hard life.
Yeah, a more sustainable product.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's my beer recommendation, because it's so good. You know.
It's a fantastic beer.
Yeah, every time. It delights me every time. Yeah.
Cool. We'd have to go with something that's on tap, shouldn't we?
Oh, that makes it harder because there's like 12 awesome beers there.
Speaking of finite things, let's speak of something else that's finite up there. So we've got Red Hill Christmas Abbey.
Yeah.
So as we mentioned earlier, we had that from our inaugural delivery, so we've had that for 12 months, aging.
Is that the very first beer you got?
The very first beer we got, so it's pretty special to the bar, I guess. Yeah. And to my knowledge, it's the only one in existence. So, yeah, once it's gone, it's gone.
Definitely of the 13, yeah.
So,
the brewery might have one, but...
Maybe not. To my knowledge, they don't have one, so...
Okay, yeah, wow, yeah. Yeah. It's tasting so good as well.
Yeah, like the spiciness, the smooth, the booze is in there, and it's just, it's kicking.
That is a fantastic...
So yeah, get to bit a few and try that.
Yeah, cool. Not much left.
It might be gone by the time this episode goes out. Yeah. If it is, then
this episode is probably a week away. So
yeah. But yeah, if it is gone, then well, too bad.
My beer recommendation. Went down to the place down in Tassie, 2 meter tall. For sours.
That's all you have to say.
I mean, anything part of the sour series, the plum, if you can get it, the Cherry Creek is fantastic. Yeah. Just a normal wild ale. But, I mean, I was down there. Fantastic. You can buy a Wagyu down there and put it on the barbecue. But we should be getting some soon.
Yeah, just waiting for his stool, doing his final blending.
Lucky enough to have some straight from the keg down there. And, yeah, fantastic. As good as the Lanka, Judin, Kentalon. Really, really exciting. Yeah. I just wish he upped his production by tenfold. So.
Ash is a really cool guy as well. He's about
extremely passionate.
He's
guy.
About twice as tall as me.
There's a great photo with Adrian standing next to Ash at Cameray.
It's funny with the plum wine. I think it was the plum wine. We were meant to get the sour cherry ale or something along those lines.
Up in Cameray.
For a 2 minute tall dinner. And somebody had accidentally bottled the plum wine and like just mislabeled it.
Oh,
and so
what a shame!
So everyone just got this like sneak preview of the sour plum wine.
Damn,
I should have come to that.
And he was so distraught that everyone was like, "This is fucking awesome!"
Fantastic!
Yeah.
Fantastic.
All right. Thanks for coming on to
the
episode,
guys.
Thank you for having us.
It's been great listening to you. Over in Copenhagen, thanks.
Speaking of another finite person, Jay's leaving at the end of the week.
You might see me passed out at the end of the bar by the end of the week somewhere.
I'll probably be there with you.
I was about to say come in and see him before you can, but yeah, you won't because it'll be too late.
This episode won't be remember. Before then.
But I think I'll probably come over and visit you while I'm overseas.
We might have to have a farewell Jay tour
kind
of party. Maybe we'll have that lamb spit he keeps talking about.
Oh,
why not?
Yeah, do it. All right.
That sounds great.
So, should we do the social media thing? Like,
nah.
All right. You can find Bitterfew. We'll plug Bitterfew.
Yeah.
You can. I think you're at Bitterfew, right? On Twitter.
Yeah,
that's right.
And you can find them on Facebook.
Just it's Bitterfew with a PH though. That's the.
Yeah.
That's the trick. Yeah. And yeah, find them on Facebook just
and,
as easily.
Fermentor are on Facebook as well, right?
Yep. There's because we're kind of crap, we've got two Fermentoran things. One's the still the person Fermentoran, or you can like the other page as well.
Okay.
But check out the brewery, it's called Dry and Bitter, if you check it out.
We'll put links to all that in the
what's it called?
Dry and Bitter.
Dry and Bitter. Cool.
Yeah, cool.
Due to our personalities.
Yeah. No. Cool. All right. See you next time.
Cheers.
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 Sessionable.